What's up, everybody? This is Eric Brown, back for another episode of the High Existence Podcast. I'm incredibly excited about what I've got for you today. This is a deep dive with Jamie Combs. He's the founder of Natural Balance Foods, but more of interest to me, and I think to you, is that he's also the creator of what Jamie has coined the four-game model, or four-game dynamics. Honestly, I was absolutely floored when I first saw this model. It immediately tied together all the learning I had done on everything from metaphysics and ontology to biohacking and peak performance. His model provides the scaffolding, the support, and language to tie together so many disparate facts of existence in such an aesthetic and concise manner. I really can't just overstate how impressive it is. And that's what we're here to explore today. Diving into the depths of his model and kind of hatching a master plan on how we can bring this into the world and get it in front of more people. If your head is filled with knowledge, concepts, experiences, and ideas without a unifying thread that ties them all together, I would highly recommend checking this out. One important point here, in the description of this podcast or on the companion article on the website, you'll find links to view a few images of the model. It adds a significant amount to the conversation if you take literally just 1 minute to check out the model beforehand. It's not a lengthy article, there's not a lot to look at, it's actually just one beautiful and compelling image. So check that out before diving into this conversation. And without any further hesitation, please enjoy this deep dive with Jamie Combs on the four-game model. All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm here with Jamie, and I am extremely excited for this in almost two ways. One, there's a part of me that hopes Jamie is a known name and his work is known to many of you. I'm not sure if that will be the case. So on the other hand, I'm extremely, extremely excited to bring these ideas to the surface in this conversation, because he has created something that I think ties together so many aspects of what we find ourselves focusing on, both at High Existence and us individually and you as the audience, that it has become an essential kind of frame and tool for me going through all of this stuff. So Jamie, thank you so much for being here. I'm really excited for this.
Hey, so am I. Thanks for having me.
So just getting the ball rolling a little bit. If someone asks you what you do and who you are, how do you respond to that?
Oh, just superficially, I'm an American expat that's lived in the UK for the last 15 years. And over there, I've been working on whole food and whole thinking. So I've got a natural food business over there called Natural Balance Foods, which is basically trying to get more whole food to more whole people more often. And then the flip side of that, which kind of started off as more of a personal project, but has grown since, is this idea of whole thinking. And getting more whole thinking more often. And so those are the two projects that I kind of have been dealing with for the last 15 years, and Natural Balance Foods on the whole food side, and Captain Simple Project on the whole thinking side.
Beautiful. Yeah, and I did give a shout out in the intro, and I'll just reiterate it here really quickly. If in the show notes of this episode and also in the article on the site, you'll find a few links and images for the four-game theory and the four-game dynamics that we're going to be digging into, the kind of the ideas that were birthed from the whole thinking that Jamie's talking about. I would really strongly recommend taking a look at those graphics and those ideas before listening to the rest of this, just because it sets the stage really nicely. And so that's really where I want to start, because I think there's just immense value for people here. Can you just give an overview of like where and how did the four game theory come about?
Yeah, I give, there's a little bit of my personal story, but it's more archetypal than that. So I think it applies to everybody. The basic problem that I had, like any young person kind of getting out in the world, skeptical about what society was doing, all of that, trying to kind of get some agency, get some control, was just accelerating complexity. So for me, that became apparent. Like, there's just so much coming on. What do I need? I'm willing to train. I'm willing to work hard, but just give me, narrow this down a little bit for me. And I was very overwhelmed for a long time with that. And so yada, 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 that search for that model came down to, after I was at a really, found myself at a really low point, I kind of pushed myself as far as I could go without being totally coherent. I asked myself the question, what would Captain Simple do? Just over and over and over, just like, man, I don't know what it is and I don't know who to ask. And then the answer that kept coming back, of course, was like, not this, not this. And even that was helpful, you know. But for me, it increasingly became something that I could put it in my head as an archetypal image idea, right? Okay, there's an image of the wise man, right? Who could take everything, the superpowers, be able to take this complexity and make it simple. A little bit of that Zen master, Taoist sage feeling. Never ruffled, it's always simple. That was what I was craving because I was kind of at the limit of my ability to juggle and grind, you know? And so trying to get into that led me to, I don't know, how would Captain Simple think? What would Captain Simple's operating model be? What did, you know, I just kept going, digging into that question, searching for a model that I could then replicate and take this stuff, because I knew you have this intuition. There's that simplicity on the far side of complexity. I've heard about it. I've touched it now and then. It's got to be there. Makes sense. I'm ready for that. So I've always was hunting for that piece of it. And then, like a lot of people, just in seeker mode, you're just seeking, 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 seeking. And along the way, getting these mental models and this language and this perspective from this way and look at it from that way. And it all is kind of putting this big picture together. But in hindsight, it's, well, they're talking in different games from different dimensions. But at the time, it was, yeah, that's true, but that's also true. You know, here's a piece of deep game knowledge, but here's a piece of mid game knowledge. So my desire to put all of those together in the sum of all the models that I had together slowly kind of came into, well, what would Captain Simple do? Well, as little as possible. Wouldn't be too many pieces. You know, simplicity precedes confidence. And put it into about a handful of pieces that he can juggle and get into some kind of flow with. So that first idea of just, how do I reduce my reality tunnel enough so I can get my hands around it, but not so simplistic that I leave things out and then I can't relax because something's going to hit me in the back of my head that I didn't even recruit. And if that makes sense. But I think a lot of people have that kind of systematizing urge. Just, God, I'm going to create this mental gadget for myself and then train myself in it so I can go change the nature of my situation. So that was kind of the common piece. And then I think what you and I will find when we're talking today, that again, once you kind of have that lens and you can do that little bit of separation, it's not that you simplify, you actually allow yourself to access really deep wells of information in each area, if that makes sense. And for me, that just allowed me to put it into a model that I could handle. And I had come from a fitness background. So the idea of fitness made sense to me. Oh, okay. Not the goal, it's the process. There's different kinds of fitness. Same way you gotta be strong and flexible. I got short game fitness and mid game fitness. So again, in hindsight, I could put it into a metaphor that I could relate with and allowed me to have some agency with, not total control. And then also make kind of the non-obvious connections. Like, oh, if you mess with your deep game over here, your long short game over here feels this. And then that became something that like, oh, I can engage with. And then whether it's a game or a dance or however you want to metaphorically frame it, becomes a detail once those distinctions are out. And then it's just, okay, how am I going to engage with this? And now does this help me get where I want to go? Is this the lightsaber I was looking for or not? Do I need something else? Do I need this and two other things? But yeah, I was really just facing overwhelm and pressure. And eventually this is what came out. And so, and was hugely helpful because after that moment, oh, gosh, now I only got four kinds of problems. The whole nature of business, everything changed for me from that point of view. Not that I couldn't still go into the old way. I just didn't have to very often. My dashboard had just shrunk to the key elements. And I felt like, oh, okay, I could maintain the right amount of influence in the direction I wanted to in the areas that were important to me and not feel like I was burning time on trivia or self-destructive stuff. I could start to get into this idea of generative flow. And if I can, you know, if what I'm trying to get after is important, I got to find a way to do that. And that just kept expanding as you get your personal act together. Well, then you get a business and an organization and it grows and it expands and has an attractive quality. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The what struck me most, I think, when I first came across the model, and particularly some of the graphics that you have around it, is the sense of the simplicity on the other side of complexity, right? And actually just, I'm not sure that'll be, that idea will be totally common knowledge, but the gist is that it's like the Dunning-Kruger effect, right? It's like there's, when you don't know much, everything looks really simple, right? Oh, rocket science is super simple. Just build a rocket and go into space, right? And then you learn a little bit more and you realize how vastly complex this thing is. But then as you get closer to mastery of the actual thing, well, then this simplicity again comes, where it's like, oh yes, of course, it's this, then this, then this. I've also heard it said, and I think Elon Musk is popularizing this a lot, the first principles. You have to get through deep study, but once you're there, it's actually very clear. And I love what you said about the, there was basically a pressure on you and it forced clarity. And there's a really common cliche that we have of pressure makes diamonds, right? Everyone's heard that before.
Yeah.
Pressure makes diamonds. But the reason pressure makes diamonds is because it forces like the molecular and atomic structure into a very clear, organized system. So if you're actually going through pressure, what you're being called to do is become very clear. That's why like CEOs or really high performers are very like direct. They speak very simply, very clear. It's like, we need to do this. What do you need from me? Tell me what's next, because pressure forces clarity. And so these are super powerful. And one of the this I hope I can get a little riff on you from, but something that's come up, and I think a term that's finding its way into this space more and more, is meta and going meta. And basically, it's the distinction between content and structure. And that is extremely important, or content and context, right? And again, the thing that struck me about the four game was you have that so very clearly in the kind of nested layers of the four games, where you have your inner game, right? And what's the context of that? Well, it's your outer game, it's your environments. And what's the context of that? Well, it's your narrative, it's your roles. And what's the context of that? Well, it's, then you get in the super weird, like, what's the nature of reality and what's the nature of being itself? And the reason I find this frame so powerful for people is because, particularly for me, and I think for a lot of our audience, people are really interested in just what's going on here in their own human potential, in the potential of humanity, in the potential of just life itself. And so they pick up all these ideas. There's the Alan Watts, Terrence McKenna, there's the Jocko Willink, David Goggins, Jordan Peterson, but it's so disparate. There's all these nodes somewhere. And this framework just seems to draw those lines, right? It actually connects all these things, and you get this whole picture of how they connect to one another. And so I think you're correct in this, but I'd love to hear the reasoning why. But why did you call them games? Why do you view them as games?
Well, two things, and let me get your first point, and then why I frame that metaphor a bit. But yeah, the meta for me, at least the part of it that's interesting, or like the 80-20 part that is really relevant for getting things done and transforming things, I think, is we all have this experience of when we ask the question of like, what the fuck is going on? Nobody knows. Mystery, right? At the end of the day, however long it wants to take you there, you're going to be staring face to face with mystery. There it is. You know, everyone is now, you know, so it feels like, don't bullshit yourself there. There's a cosmic shrug that seems like it has to happen there. That's just not linguistic. And if we want to go on and talk about it and orient it and put it through our brain, then there's this, you know, just a metaphor has to happen, or an analogy, this idea of, this is a mystery, but it's kind of like, we pick on some image, you know, and Alan Watts a good example of a guy, we picked on a musical image of things. Well, it makes for a lovely way to go through life, right? You're dancing through life if it's like music. But if it's like an authoritarian empire or something, so there's metaphors in there, as you said, set the context for the long game, but then they also define you in terms of your identity, putting boundaries on this vast mystery, and often not even doing it unconsciously. So I think guys like Alan Watts spoke all to this really interestingly. George Lakoff, speaks to this really interestingly. And that's that kind of subtle frame behind the frame that makes all the, difference. And civilizations kind of all have unconsciously to the answer of what's going on. And I think the interesting part as we go forward is those are getting a little more holistic over time. People's metaphors are starting to, seems to me, are more and more getting a little gestalt-y, and they're dawning that the foreground and the background, you know what, they actually go together. Oh, well, it's kind of a one thing. The left hand is kind of realizing that it's part of the right hand. And therefore holding a knife is probably a dumb thing, you know, once you kind of reframe the whole thing. So I think a lot of really important stuff goes up there and is unconscious, but just superficially, it's, you're looking at metaphor, and you don't know, you're looking at the biggest mystery there is. What does your gut tell you it's kind of like? And then, you know, that you actually, or, you know, or what metaphor do you actually organize your life around? Mm-hmm. Kind of like emptiness. It's kind of like a kingdom. It's kind of like a parade. It's kind of like a war. It's kind of like a evolution, you know, or whatever, but you'll have some deep game metaphor in there. And I find, yeah, what connects a lot of those different thinkers together is once you catch that, oh, they're just operating after a different deep game metaphor that drives their common sense. I think our common sense gets in alignment with our metaphor. And if you don't have a different metaphor, our common sense will be different. Yep. We won't know why, even though we may agree down the line. But yeah, that's that deep game element, which I think is really underspoken to just in society, but is really interesting. And when people, I find when people do speak to it, it's right there. It's not something that needs much explanation. You know, you just face it right up to that mystery straight away, and there is something, you know, I don't have to provide content. So there's that. And then in the context of wide games, then it becomes really personal. As I said, once you kind of recognize these dimensions, then the challenge means, how do you personalize your own? You know, what does Eric Brownian dynamics look like? I have Combsian dynamics. In my Combsian dynamics, I like to turn it into a game in terms of the framing of a game. It's a mystery. I think there's a playful element to it. I would take a little Terence McKenna's novelty and playfulness and say, yeah, I think it's kind of a mysterious, shifting, slightly playful happening. That's happening on multiple dimensions simultaneously. And the nature of the thing is to kind of get in harmony and generative flow with it. Kind of like a game, kind of like four games happening simultaneously. And so for me, it's like, oh, I can engage with the other that way quite nicely. You know, I can train for games. I can join games. Again, the Watsian thing of sincerely, but not too seriously. Mm-hmm. That applies. You know, I think all that just makes for a very healthy, for me down the line, gives me a very healthy short game attitude for things, you know, in the same way, you know, someone who has a deep game of really non-attachment, it drills all the way down to their short game attitude. Yep. So for me, that gives me a nice way that I can engage with it. I can engage my long game with it. It's a metaphor that I kind of grew up with anyway. So I'm not trying to force myself into something not, and it sets up a training and a path and a camaraderie, and it makes with other people that it's more like workout partners for people, that fellow enthusiasts. And so it sets up the mid-game relationship structure that I'm comfortable with, as opposed to teaching somebody something. Because the cool thing about four games is once you kind of get it, you realize, oh, you didn't teach me anything new. You just kind of helped me rearrange what's already there, like rearranging the furniture in your living room. It's like, oh, yeah, I like it that way. But you don't have to keep it that way. If that makes sense. But so that's deep game. And then my personal bit is, I think game is a helpful metaphor to it. But a lot of, when I deal with people, that, you know, that'll get their hackles up, because they'll have some other metaphor. Oh, no, it's a dance. That's too competitive. Or, oh, no, it's a gardener. Oh, no, it's a whatever. It doesn't make the slightest bit of difference to me. But I'm really sincerely want to get out what they get and dig under. And, you know, that's really a rich thing, because they're going to get a sense of fulfillment in their short game when they can look at their long game and say, yeah, that's right. That's in harmony with that mid game or with that deep game. It's all about balance, and I'm doing this, and that's okay. But without that, or if you've got some, you know, lose-lose meta frame there where you can't win, you're judged in life and punished in death, it's going to make you a little jumpy, you know? So that's deep game, and that becomes interesting to, I think, a lot of your audience in the sources that you guys will be familiar with. If you tune your ear for it, you'll hear it all over the place.
Yeah, and that's a really important point, actually. If you listen and observe, right? So if you get content mm-hmm. and context from people, you can piece together their kind of metaphysical and ontological orientations. And a point that seemed to be coming up right there was like, it almost doesn't matter. This is a content and structure thing. It almost doesn't matter what your metaphor is, so long as you have one, so long as you actually have a relationship to what the heck is going on here, because you can then distill everything back to where you are right now and what you're doing. Right.
And I don't even know if you couldn't, not have one. Yeah. You know, you might have one and not be aware of it, or have a couple that, you know, or something, but I think that's a good point.
Well, and this is a classic, this is actually, you could argue this is the role of something like society and culture, right? It's like, if you don't have one, one will be given to you, whether you recognize that or not. And this, I think this was a classic line of Alan Watts, right? It's like, I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm just giving you a different way to approach life, right? The Eastern Western culture thing, right? Because fundamentally, and you get that he speaks a lot about kind of Hindu culture as well, right? Where they view it as an act. You're putting on this drama with yourself, just because why not? Why wouldn't you? You want to see what you're capable of. So forget yourself and see if you can come back to that. Or again, we have a big one with, classic Christianity is like God the Father, God the Carpenter, the Builder. He constructed this and he put you inside it, and you have to kind of interact with nature. Eastern is very much like you grew out of it. You're an essential part of it,
exactly,
separate from it. And so, yeah, almost no matter what, you definitely have one. And you'll do yourself some good actually figuring out what it is and if you like it.
And you'll notice too, as they resonate through society. I mean, if you think of the four games of Christendom, you know, that went all the way down to the feudal, all the way down to the bottom. And then also the idea that when you kind of really back up, and tell me what you think. I think if you really back up on people's metaphors, you say, hey man, have what you want. You know, it's part of the joy of life. Get with it. But there's two kinds that seem like they broadly split off. There's some kinds that are kind of broadly alienating, right? So it's, you're not joining with the other. That right hand isn't mine. It's out to get me, you know, in some form. Versus, no, the left hand and the right hand are mysteriously part of me. So I think there's a kind of more alienated ways to have your metaphors framed, and more kind of holistic empowering ways to do it. And I think there's lots of options. But someone with a metaphor that's working against them, it's hard to get everything else right if you've set the stage that you're Sisyphus and that's just what's going on. It's like, oh fuck, man. So I think those are the ones that they're hard to get out, because you can fix the other stuff, but there's this weight of oppression, you know, in their deep game that they don't even have language for.
Yeah, and to that, that's a very good point, because some of this is beyond language. A lot of it is almost felt. It's a reality to be experienced, not a problem that you solve with an answer.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it's nice from there to take that. It's exactly right down into short game, because then you get into like, well, words and ideas and whatever. And I think you need to have a model that then can shift you right into just that physical. Oh, you want to, and that's why that start anywhere. Like, oh, okay, you want to go there now? Okay, fine. We're going to get to everything eventually. Let's go there now. And and that, I think, and there's just no escaping. It just kind of forces the mind to dance around and just address each one of these areas. And as you said, they're not all linguistic, heady ideas. Some of them are just primal gut feel stuff.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm really glad you brought that up, because that's one of the questions I want to dig into, which is your line of pick a game and start anywhere. But before that, could we actually just give a quick overpass of the four games and what you might find in each one?
Yeah, sure. And help fill me in as I go. And you can start describing them anywhere. Since we started the deep game, I'll start at the deep game and drill down, but you go anywhere out. So yeah, your deep game is just when you're faced with mystery broadly, what's your metaphor of what the hell's going on and your relation in it, just your sense of identity, not your sense of role, your sense of identity. Your long game is your almost your life script. It's more than just your plan, but it's your story that you have going past, going future, and going present. You can't run into it. You can't put it in my hand. It's this intangible narrative realm that when you kind of separate it out is really quite astonishing and shifting and changing all the time. But that's your long game. Everybody has one of those too. They're broken into past, present, and future. There's all sorts of cool stuff you can do with long game, and all sorts of tragic afflictions you can have in long game. Mid game is physical world, reality, anything you can bump your toe on, run into, science, all everything that's quote unquote the real world is mid game. But it's also your backpack, it's your house, it's your microphone, all the stuff, and then how all the stuff is organized and the individual bits of it. So wonderful world of mid game. I'm in business. It's the trucks and the warehouses and the physical, all the mid game. There's tons of stuff to do that. And then there's the short game. That's the stuff in Alan Watts's Bag of Skin. That's the stuff that's in your body. That's that mix of your mental happening, your emotional happening, and your physical happening. It's very intimate to you, and it's shifting, swirling all the time and affecting one another. And you can't have a thought without a feeling. They all happen simultaneously at once. And so from my kind of phenomenological bit of like, hold it. What's just 80-20 in your reality tunnel going on? You've got a short game that's percolating thoughts, feelings, and actions. You've got a mid game that's shifting and changing environments and systems and gadgets. And you could, of course, get more granular on each one of those, but those are kind of top three big things. You've got a long game where the story and the role and the goal and the path is shifting all the time. And you've got this deep game where you're kind of dealing with this mystery that you're never going to be able to put into words that kind of ripples out across everything else. And what are you going to do with that? And so from that kind of starting point of, hey, we all have that. That's all of our birthright. You know, you may not be able to control it, but you can influence a lot of it. And if you're blind to it, you're going to be manipulated by those who aren't. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's wonderful. That was a great overview. And actually just building off that right away, like, can you touch on the pick a game, start anywhere riff?
Yeah, well, it's nice because one of my early jobs was I was a fitness trainer. And so I still like that whole model. If I'm not the one with the problem, you're the one with the problem. Come here, we'll help you with your problem. Right? Talking about push-ups and doing push-ups are two entirely different things. You know, when you're done talking about them, we'll start doing them. You know, and there's that something that rubber meets the road kind of aspect to them, which is, I don't know, I forgot your question, but that's how I like to teach it, was just to bring people wherever they are already. If they're in their head and they're in their mind, it's like, okay, well, what's on your mind? We'll start there. If you're all pissed off, we'll start there. If your leg hurts, we'll start there. If you're worried about cat food, we'll start with cat food. It's the idea of just, again, like in wrestling or something, and it's like, I'll take whatever you want to give me. Give me an arm, I'll take an arm. Give me a leg, I'll take a leg. We're going to get started, though, right now, you know? And then also the bit, knowing that I'm doing that, but it's going to be simpler and nicer for them than they think, that it's not going to be, I know that they're going to be happy in the end because I'm only going for this kind of aha piece of stuff they already know. Mm-hmm. I don't have to pound much into them. I'm just going to see them from a little bit, and then eventually, if not now or later, something will click and things that were complicated will seem simpler without losing the ability to go into detail with them, if that makes sense. And then that becomes really empowering. And knowing that that's what certain people who get this are going to get, those are the guys I'm looking for, yep. If that makes sense. So it makes it good fun because the teaching it becomes fun, you know, in terms of that, the style of it becomes teaching because, again, you get to kind of fall back and be like, I'm not the one with the problem. You're the one with the problem. I'll help you with your problem. And there's no forcing of anything. And all you're trying to do is get them better, their four games better and stronger and more aligned, and they'll know it as it happens. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to know any of the I don't have to know any of the specific content of your long game, for instance, but you'll know that your long game is better and you'll feel better. And you don't have to share it with me if you want to or not. But that's mostly just to get it going, because sometimes there's some intellectual types that want to start chatting, which is great. It's like, great, let's start with deep game. Okay, let's start with philosophy. Okay. Because I feel like I think the magic trick is done right at the beginning. If people accept and get into a conversation about four game dynamics, they've already accepted my metaphoric frame. Mm-hmm. The magic trick is done right then. There's four levels. We're going to be playful about it, and they interact. The rest is details. What I'm really trying to get them to do is just to be able to see that, not all the time, not to be locked into it, but just have the ability to put on those glasses. So that happens right at front. Now you're in my loop. Now we're just talking details and practicing and this and that. But the real seed I wanted to plant was there is this ability to see these things from these four game perspectives.
Yep.
And let that seed plant in their head. And then also the bit of you're not at the beginning of this. You're already in the middle. You're far more capable than this than you already know. And so people have a little bit of an aha, like, oh, it's easier than I, it's not going to be harder than you think. It's going to be easier than you think. This is Captain Simple. He's not trying to make it hard. That relief piece makes the teaching style, at least my teaching style of it, very fun, because I'm not interested in, you know, lecturing people, and I don't have the content. A lot of people who do this have way more content than I do in any of it, and it's part of what makes them fascinating.
Yeah, that was something I was running up against when I first found you. I was like, where is the website here? Where is the entire organization stewarding this? Because it's so rich. And, you know, to your point on just picking and starting anywhere, I think an important recognition here is, like, so, you know, certainly for myself, certainly for a lot of our audience, there's an overarching question of just, like, kind of what am I capable of? Both as an individual human and, like, us as a collective humanity. And there's a pursuing of that question. And what I like about the Four Game is that there's an implicit recognition that, like, if you really want to max out your potential and see what you're capable of, you will need to address all four of these things. Like, to be balanced, yes, you need a balanced approach to all four of these. And it immediately gives you, like, almost a checklist where it's like, okay, do I have this covered? Like, is this actually appropriate? And you can see where all of the popular kind of thinkers or teachers or gurus or whatever they are, where they all slot in. You know, you have the kind of Alan Watts, Terence McKenna in the deep metaphysical ontological realm. You have Jordan Peterson with clean your room and get your shit together in the inner and outer games, right? You have kind of Carl Jung, the archetypes and the roles, and Joseph Campbell and the hero's journey in the kind of narrative realm. And for some of us, that there can be a feeling where it's like, oh no, like, this one person, like, they have the answer. And it's actually like, well, no, they have the answer for their game. They're very, they're very coherent in their position in the game, but you need the whole thing. You need the whole arc.
Yes.
I think another more tangible example of this is something like, let's say you were super depressed. Let's say you actually have, like, mental illness. So maybe your short game, like your mind's thoughts, emotions, maybe that's not where you want to start. But to Jordan Peterson's point, if you cleaned your room, if you brought some organization to your life and your outer world, well, that can actually ripple back and start balancing everything else out. Or again, to your earlier comment on Sisyphus, like, if you just feel like you're here to suffer in some kind of weird purgatory nonsense, like, that trickles back down into how can you possibly feel uplifted on a day-to-day basis if that is your entire ontological frame. And so there is just this sense of, like, look, if you really want to survive and thrive here, like, you have to sort out all four of these. And to your point, it doesn't have to be extremely nuanced, complex nonsense. It's like, is this 80-20? Do I have a decent narrative? Do I have an idea of what this mystery is? Do I know what I'm doing? Do I have a space? And do I steward my inner world too? And it's like, that's it. Like, that's all you need.
Yeah, I like that. Exactly. Just kind of keeping an eye on those and kind of holding it loosely. And again, finding a metaphor that allows you to hold it loosely and engage with it in a nice way. Like, fitness is nice because, yeah, sometimes your long game's strong. Sometimes it's up in the air. Sometimes you can do chin up. Sometimes you can't. You know, it's like, okay, things are changing. There's no right or wrong in it. It's just your management of it, which I think for a certain type of person, that gets them in process and a little bit less outcome, or at least balances it. Because part of their problem, I think, is that they're just, you know, they're too much locked on their long-term goals or some glitch. They just can't execute a nice short game, a short-term day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes their mid-game is out to get, it doesn't help them, and they don't see it. And if it's not obvious that your mid-game is, you know, maybe easy to fix and would have a lot of high leverage turns, you miss all these opportunities, I thought. And I certainly, once I could use four game dynamics and look back, in hindsight, I could narrate what I had been doing much better.
Yep.
At the time, it was an adventure. In hindsight, it was a story.
Yeah, and there's one of the other images that came up on your Twitter feed that is a near and dear concept to my heart. I don't even know if this is what you intended, but you had a picture of what looked like a torus loop, like a vortex of energy that circles back in on itself. It was it was colored in the four game dynamics, and for some of the high existence team here and some of my friends, like, they know how often I rip or riff on this idea of the Taurus loop, because it's extremely potent here, because it's like, well, okay, so you start it yourself, you sort that out, you ripple outwards into the world, you ripple outwards into your role, you ripple outwards into the mystery. And as those things clarify, crystallize, and define themselves, that actually loops back into where you're at right now. And this is what it looks like to basically level up, like that concept of leveling up, where you your capacity, your coherence, your understanding, your energy up levels, and then it ripples out into all the games and it creates this cycle. And you know, there's a very classic way we see this defined in the downward spiral. Almost everyone knows that phrase in relation to something like drug addiction, where you just get caught in this downward spiral where everything just loops back on itself and you go down and down and down. But if we accept that as true, that implies an upward spiral. That implies that there's this loop that you can get on that actually carries you up bigger and bigger and bigger. And that I thought was extremely potent.
Yeah, I love that image. I'm glad you appreciate it as much as I do. Yeah, I think that's as elegant as any of them can be. And I keep going back to that Alan and Watts prickles and goo bit, which I think is just a brilliant way to break it down. You know, there's a prickly way of looking at things, and there's a gooey way of looking at things. And I, from my point of view, it's like some people like to have a little gooier, some people need it a little pricklier, and the service is to be able to have all these little seeds that poke and prod different people in different ways, and just get their brain on the subject just for a moment. So yeah, I think images like that and art like that, or whatever meta art is going to be, I think there's a lot to it, because there's literally just, when you can think on these different levels, or at least talk to somebody else about them, you can really talk about nuanced things in a complex way and start to plan, you know, in a much more sophisticated way once you kind of bring all these pieces together. So yeah, if you find something more elegant than that that image, let me know.
No, it's it fits for me right now, because there's another way I like this is like, how do I want to say this? You know, sometimes people come to us, we also have a retreat series, we have articles and blogs online. So sometimes people write or reach out to us and say, you know, I feel like I'm stuck in a loop. I always keep coming back to the same thing. Right. And there's like this implicit sense in people that you're going to get to some way of being that suddenly everything is different, and you will never have to have difficult conversations with people again. You'll never run into people who annoy you again. Like there's just this thing on some next around the corner that everything is going to change. But it, you know, you are always going to be at the center of your experience, right? You're the center of the universe, and you look out at it, but you can come to it with different frames. You can, and this is why I like the upward spiral, right? If you have a spiral looping up, if you look top down, the point is only just spinning in a circle, but it's actually climbing. Through that process. So yes, you do always come back to the same shit. Like, what am I going to do today? Am I taking care of my health? Oh, I have to have a difficult conversation. But you are still, you're coming back armed with these, I don't want to say tools, but like more capacity to handle your life. And you'll notice, and this is your point earlier of, yeah, they'll find that they don't even have to verbalize it, but things are kind of getting easier, or they feel like things are getting better. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, that's the point. You come back to the same thing and you demonstrate to yourself that you've actually increased your capacity. Like, wow, that conversation didn't seem so hard. Oh, wow, I was able to be way more empathetic with my friend, and it just came extremely naturally. It's like, that is the point. And it can be really subtle. And this is why in so many great kind of wisdom traditions, the concept of mindfulness or just awareness is so important, because these things are subtle and you have to be able to catch them if you ever want to recognize that you're actually progressing. Making progress along the way.
Yeah, no, I think that's, I found that once you have kind of awareness of it, then that becomes really helpful. And then you open to the world of these people who have awareness and now have practiced proficiency in some aspect of it. whether it, and those guys could just do the, you know, doing the most astonishing, amazing things and can get down to granularity in that specific subject matter. That's really helpful. So I think it's, yeah, I find it useful of just being able to kind of do the additional reduction of it and then get my own sense of it. And as you say, wherever I go in the future, what am I going to find there? I'm going to find my four games of the future.
Yeah.
I'm going to have another story. I'm going to have a feeling, you know, they're going to be there every, so am I moving? So what's moving here? But what that sense I thought is a little bit of when people are trying to say, hey, it's all here with you now. Mm. That's a little what they're getting at. Hey, your long game's here with you now. You know, it's all, where are you going to go? That, what different part of the mid game are you going to move to where that's not going to be so?
Yep.
And that's that little bit of just take assuming some influence over your own reality tunnel. Because it's just with you everywhere you go. And if you're not taught that or not, I mean, it's like, you know, it's a simple enough thing, but if it's, you can stay up all night and not think of it, mm-hmm. if someone doesn't point it out, you know?
Yeah, this has been, again, the reason I love this framework so much is because it answers just so many disparate ideas. Because another idea or concept that has become very central to how I think about the work I'm doing and what I want to give to people is this idea of a way of being or a mode of being. Mm. Like, mm-hmm. again, I feel like we're using him as an example a lot, Alan Watts, but it's a great example. Like, Alan Watts had a way of being. He has a way of speaking. He has a way of acting, of the things that he's interested in, of the way he spends his time. And everyone has that. But the thing is that sometimes we're not, it's very difficult to be aware of things, aware of your way of being, right? This is the David Foster Wallace idea of this is water, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's just so pervasive in you that you don't actually notice it. And mm-hmm. what I love about the four game is like the synthesis or the combination of the four games is your way of being. And it comes across in everything yes. you do in the relationship that you have in yourself. And so if you have a framework like this, a really simple tool, you can actually begin to dissect yourself and be like, what's not working here? What do I want to get better at? What do I want to work on? What do I really enjoy? And it gives you just, again, lenses are a great way to say it. It gives you a way to look at yourself in the world that takes all this weird complexity, like I'm not satisfied with my life. And it suddenly just presents you this freaking checklist of like, okay, well, do I have a routine? You know, do I have friends? How do I relate to the great mystery? It's just like, do these things and you up level. Your way of being becomes a lot more in line with who you want and what you want. And it's just such a, damn, it's just such a powerful framework.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I had the same thing, and that's why I'm so enthusiastic about it myself. You know, it really turned me around, and it's like, if something happens like that to you, it's just, you know, you got to tell somebody. What else do you, what else is like, kind of like it, do you think? What else is in that space? And if you kind of think of people that are kind of trying to get gadgets and tools to get their act together, and you put that in their quiver, what other things you think are particularly complementary to it?
Well, that's a great question. The immediate answer I have, and it's something I'm studying a lot more right now, is yoga. Mm-hmm. And there are a number of reasons for this. The simple answer is because it's kind of been distilled or forgotten in some ways, the kind of the way yoga comes up in Western culture right now. But yoga is a way of being. It's not just a like stand on your mat practice. It's a complete mm-hmm. orientation to life, right? It has an entire philosophy, all deep game narrative stuff. It has a set of mid game practices, like and code of ethics and morals and how to live and conduct yourself. And then it has how to manage thoughts, feelings, and an extremely diverse set of tools to actually do all of that, right? The asana practice, the actual on the mat practice being just one of those. But there are hundreds of tools and frameworks and concepts that yoga provides in a very coherent package that has been refined mm-hmm. for literally thousands of years, like pre-Christianity. And so that honestly is would definitely be my first answer to that, just because another way I like to say this is, you know, what is it? It's like the second law of thermodynamics, like entropy, right? things over time degrade and devolve. So unless they're mm-hmm. useful and maintained, they get lost to history. And so things like meditation, things like yoga, things that have existed for thousands of years have done so for a reason, because if they weren't useful, they'd be forgotten. There are a lot of practices mm-hmm. and religions and languages and whatever that no longer exist, right? So the things that have actually made it this long, there's a really, really good reason for it. And it's probably because they address most or all of the four games. So yoga is a huge one. I think really sincere psychoanalysis, if you want a more mm-hmm. Western approach, like really particularly, this is also another hobby horse of mine, like actually having quote unquote healthy people go to therapy because it can unlock parts of yourself that you just had no idea. It brings to the surface, this again, Carl Jung's line, right? Like until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate, right? It's like you,
yeah, exactly.
If you really want to tinker with yourself and really unlock yourself, A, you have to be aware of it. So how do you do that? Yoga, meditation, psychoanalysis seem like three really good approaches to do this. And actually, again, I would now give people, well, run your four game, see what's going on there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there's a lot of the old stuff that has a translation job that can be done. Because I do think, that's why I think there's this interesting thing of not so much content, but here, if we can translate some of the yoga bit into my simple four-game brain, there's some gems in there that can be spread a little farther than people who are too deeply, you know, knowledgeable in the yoga lingo. So yeah, I often kind of think in terms of the gadget-wise, it kind of unleashes this. It's like, yeah, there's some combination of a framework, a gadget, and a lingo, a few keywords, so you don't have this Tower of Babel situation.
Yeah,
we're talking about the same thing, but we're talking past each other, so we have to slow down to translate. We can just get rid of that frame, and I think there are a lot of systems that are dealing really well with some corner of four-game dynamic that needs doing, and it's just for lack of common lingo or model that pulls them all together to say, no, that's right, that helps this, that's okay, these are all connected. You know, our inability to operate on multiple levels simultaneously, can hobble us.
Yeah, and again, something I think, I have a lot of thoughts about the four game theory, as you can tell. But one of them that again struck me as like, oh wow, I see this as being very useful, is the fact that it's actually aesthetic. It's beautiful. Like the graphics that you have around these things are engaging. Like I would be just as happy doing rigorous study through this as I would like hanging, framing the photo on my wall and having it as art. And I think there's something really, really important there. And you know, the question that came up for this was like, I see it as almost memeable, right? It's actually easily shared, which is kind of a foundation for any successful kind of philosophical thought. But do you see like aesthetics and beauty as important, or what role do you think they play in kind of disseminating frameworks like this?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm artistic by nature anyway, but yeah, I think in terms of, you know, what would Captain Simple do? The idea, well, there'd be a symbol that's so simple and so common sense that anybody could use it just looking at it and they wouldn't need any words. And some poor kid born in a mud puddle in Bangladesh, he could figure it out, man. He wouldn't need, you know, that, what's that gadget? How simple could it be? You know, that's why that question for me is just such a gold mine. I don't know. Well, he wouldn't do that because it just wouldn't do much. And so it got down to me like, well, what if there was a transformative symbol that just, once you figured it out, you could then use it? You know, what if the Superman symbol meant something? Wow, that would be cool. You know, so from that piece, and then what would be the minimal amount of lingo to poke and prod with to get them, not to fill them up with knowledge, but just to spark what's already there and know that, okay, once you've, they can't unring the bell, well, yada, 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 they'll go pursue this and they'll discover on their own all these connections. And you don't want to take that away from them because it's that aha, oh, Carl Jung, and those, it's a long game and this is all short, you know, that. And then because suddenly you realize not only do you know a lot, it's like having a transmission to your car. Like, oh, I've got, I know a lot and now I can connect it and actually apply it and use it and turn it into this, that, and the other. And I think a lot of people are just passively collecting, have this vast stores of knowledge, and just a little bit of a lingo that allows them to connect it will open it up inside themselves, but then it'll also allows them to really connect with other people who may share some, oh, we have a long game in common or whatever. And then I think the artistic part is also really interesting from individual. I'm really interested in the way I don't teach what I do so much is I think it's figuring out your own four game dynamics is the thing. Mm-hmm. I've got Combsian four game dynamics. My Combsian four game dynamics and your Brownian four game dynamics may be similar, but entirely different. And you'll have strength and I'll have strengths and they'll change over time. So what I think is empowering to someone who's coming at it for a new thing is, hey, there's nothing wrong with you, man. You got these four dimensions. Sometimes they're jacked up. You know, join the club. Everybody's got that. We can fix it. Don't worry. Where do you want to start? And just see them as they wish to be seen. And like, this is a fixable problem. You know, just interrupt that long game that they've got of whatever it is. It's like, well, this is part of the long game where I give you this. And now it's going to be okay. We're going to start here. Just, there's a little bit of whether you do it kind of internally or you have someone help you do it for you.
Yep.
I kind of feel like that needs to happen one way or another. And this is a tool that I certainly used for myself first and then find like, God, this has a really elegant way to teach off it.
Yeah.
Which I'm curious to put it in the hands of other people because it's like, you go run with it, change it, tweak it. I've got nothing to sell. I've got nothing copyrighted. I've got nothing. I think it's the plan is to kind of put it out into the world and it seems to attract the most interesting people, particularly the people who can figure it out from just the symbol without much words. Mm-hmm. That's fantastically interesting. The people that I like you, that I get connected from, it's like, oh, you didn't explain this to me. I just looked at it and it connected with my own stuff and then aha. And so this early phase of this has been really nice because it's really brought to me from my point of view, people who are just particularly sharp and already skilled and all bringing a lot of four game skills in each dimension that I certainly don't have.
Yeah, that really resonates because it was, again, when I first came across this somewhere on Twitter, it was just this immediate snap of like, oh yeah, right. That whole thing. And because again, I definitely found myself in that space where it was like, all right, Jordan Peterson's definitely onto something. He's going in some direction. Oh, and then, you know, the archetypes tie into this somehow. And Alan Watts had a good way of doing this. And then it was like, oh, right. Okay. Four game. Cool. That's how it all.
Yes. They're all on the same side. And hey, clean your room. That's good mid-game advice. You know, and author your life, that's good long game advice. And hey, be like water, Bruce Lee, that might be an interesting deep game.
Yeah.
Maybe it should be music, Alan. You know, that it does. It kind of puts them. And then you see a lot of arguments are just people kind of talking past each other. It's like, oh, Sam Harris is just talking mid game to a deep game guy. Yeah, they're not going to agree.
Yeah.
You know, or you get to see those. But once you can translate, oh, there's a lot we could have in common. And I think the nature of kind of the era we're in is when we need to start doing that, because we've got these problems that'll simultaneously man-made, global, super complex and accelerating. It just seems like the nature of how we get out of this feels like we're going to have more people who can manage their four games better, however they want to call them. Mm-hmm. And that generation of leaders is kind of who I'm eager to see who else is, you know, I can kind of see growing and there's a lot of people interested in it, but I think there's no scenario where we get out of all this mess without several generations of very capable cats.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. This has been a big factor for me, particularly lately, which is like, look, yeah, we have a bunch of problems that humanity needs to tackle. Like, I'm not going to skirt around that. But what we need to start, and this is actually the whole kind of course of my life was, well, I started off in the technology industry. I was like, tech is going to save the world. We just need to build cool tools and give them to people and they'll do good stuff. And then I kind of, as I did that, I came to this point of like, oh, but if you put really powerful tools in the hands of children, like we're going to have a real problem. And we see how that plays out a lot. So actually it seems there's a starting point of like really, really capable sovereign humans. That's where we need to start. And so a lot, the guiding question for me and a lot of my work lately has just been, okay, how do you systematically produce really capable people very quickly?
Exactly.
We have to do some big stuff really quickly. And then again, yeah, I come to something like this and it's like huge. You know, the picture that comes up for me is like, sometimes there are videos that go around social media where there's like this pile of junk just hanging on threads or on the ground. And it's like it's literally like garbage. And then the camera starts rotating a little bit. And eventually it gets to single point where it's like this portrait of a person and you can't unsee it. You're like, holy crap. All this random junk was actually part of this huge gestalt, this beautiful piece of art. And that's kind of what it feels like this thing does, right? It's the lens or the frame that snaps everything you've been learning about suddenly into this really coherent picture where it's like, right, okay, yeah, now I can't unsee it. Now this all makes sense. Now I see how every piece was necessary and involved in this huge picture. And, you know, we spoke about this right before we started recording, right? That's kind of what grokking something means to me, right? Grokking is this word that's coming up into kind of the sense-making world right now of like seeing the thing in its totality, like seeing the absolute essence of it. And Four Games seems to almost do that for just like life. It seems to do that for just your character on a vast level.
Yeah, I think so. Because you get to like a certain chapter change, you kind of force it. Like when you get to that point where it all kind of consolidates together, you're in a decided long game chapter change now. You can't unring it. You're a different, you're a more capable cat in a new environment. And now that moved on, you know, and there's something about that feeling too, that kind of leveling up, that kind of grokking, that kind of, you know. Now if we look back historically, the four games of you yesterday are different and less empowered than they are today. And there's something about being able to have some control of that once you see that you can. So I do think that there's that kind of that two-phase thing. If once you figure it out, that's great. And then it dawns on you, you can do all this stuff. And then it comes back to you about what do you want to do and why do you want to do it and authenticity. And then that becomes a really interesting excavation into yourself, but with levers that you feel like you can actually control. So it just doesn't spin out into abstraction.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually that just sparked in me, the kind of wisdom of the Bruce Lee be like water thing, because you were just like, you know, yeah, there's actually a part where if you want to be more in control of your life, you actually have to increase your flexibility, right? Because the things that worked for you and your way of being a few years ago might need to be updated. But if you're trying to control your life just by grasping very hard onto everything as it is right now, that is the thing that is going to be generating the problems. Because your life is calling for an update, but you're too rigid to adapt to that. And that's the whole thing. Like you pour water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You flow and fill the context as is necessary. But it requires this level of flexibility seems to be the word coming up around that. It's just such an important point. Like you gotta reinvent yourself quite consistently.
Yeah, it's really a beautiful phrase too, because it's also about, well, you don't grasp too hard to your metaphor either.
Yeah.
That's just a metaphor too. You know, don't cling to, and it shapes, and you don't have to have one, and you can, you know, the idea of the changeability of it too makes it really kind of a rich one, because there's somebody, you know, the ability to kind of, you know, grok somebody else. If you can step into somebody else's deep game frame and really get it from that zone, I can really understand them in a way that's different. So if the people who have flexibility in their deep game are also very kind of impressive and interesting to be around. And they don't hold theirs too tightly, you know, but can kind of dance between different ones and have some flexibility up there. I think Alan Watts is probably a good example of that. Mm-hmm. They have a nice way about them.
Yeah, just again, that in a way that should almost be the easiest one to be flexible on, because you can't know it. It's not something you can be certain about. So it's just like, yeah, I kind of like this one the most right now, or I think this is the most coherent, or this resonates with me the most. It should actually be easier to change, but to your point, it's actually often one of the hardest.
Yeah, well, there's something of the Joker in it, right? You know, the guy that can play all the parts.
Yeah.
It's like, what's going on here? What did I just, you know? But which I think is why, I think for me anyway, having it grounded in just mystery and not doesn't need to be solvent. If I could, I couldn't put it into words. Mm-hmm. It's not a problem. I think for me, embracing it, having that at the bottom, then allows everything else to be taken sincerely, but not too seriously, because you're not under the illusion that you're getting the capital T truth.
Yeah.
Or I'm not anyway.
I think this is what's driving a lot of the resurgence or the interest in things like Eastern philosophy and Buddhism and Zen and, mm-hmm. and all this in Western culture, because they actually have a very reasonable approach to, well, okay, I'm not going to solve this thing, so how am I going to alter my relationship to that? Right? There's mm-hmm. there's this line from Alan Watts, just getting so many shout outs today. There's this line from Alan Watts that's been on my mind a lot, which is, you know, the mystery of life isn't a problem to be solved, but a reality to be experienced. And that that is just like the sum of the Eastern Western divide right there. Right? West is just like,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, there's two deep games, two entirely different deep game frame structures mm-hmm. that if you based your life on, or were you just internalized, you would just go have a totally run off and have a totally different everything, and it would make perfect sense that you're doing that. But yeah, no, it's a nice example of it.
Yeah, and actually, this rounds into something I wanted to bring up. See if we can give some kind of real world examples. But you know, so right now we're recording this kind of still in the middle of, but it seems to be tapering a little bit, of COVID-19. So quarantine life and mm-hmm. lockdown, and actually right in the middle of the George Floyd Black Lives Matter protests that have been spawning in the States. The first comment on that was simply like, you know, it's a perfect example of, in January, a bunch of people were doing whatever, setting New Year's resolutions, making plans for the year, thinking they had this all under control and that they were, you know, the master author of their life. And then boom, a cataclysmic change of pace, right? That none of us could have expected. And so that to me is just a shining example of like, you can definitely try. And I think it's beautiful to put effort into mm-hmm. like, this is exactly what I want my life to be like. But mm-hmm. you still have to stand in this recognition of like, dude, this is a moment to moment thing. And I got to be really mm-hmm. flexible, because it can change literally the next day. But this also just leads into a question of how have both of these things unfolded for you? And do you see any overlap with four game stuff going on here?
Yeah, I think just kind of the, four game notes on what's happening, it seems like, can help me fill it in, the nature from my framing of it. It seems like a really interesting moment, because we've got this bit where our everybody's mid-game environment is now suddenly polluted or different or less safe. So we all experience this in our short games all at once. Everyone has to, you know, the part, and then, you know, so that's a rare thing. Now that's all part of our collective long game. That one time when our mid-game got dangerous and we all had to get stuck in our places. So there's this really interesting, the fact that it's kind of simultaneously happening everywhere, and we're all being aware of, hey, take a look at your mid game, pay attention, it could be dangerous now. That becomes interesting. And then it also puts your attention mid game wise on, well, there's some of these gadgets that might come save you, masks, vaccines, or whatever. But we have the gadget, but we may not have the system to deliver all the gadgets. One thing to make a test, it's another thing to have a national testing system. There's another thing to have an environment that doesn't have a disease in it. So it really, I think, from a four game, just awareness point of view, if you're having trouble seeing it, that certainly helps. And then you notice like, well, yeah, notice what that's done to your long game, what you thought was going to happen this summer, you know, and your role in it, and all that's shaken up now. So again, it forces some attention to long game. And since it's happening to everybody simultaneously, I think it allows us to kind of look at our mid game systems, whether it's policing or banking or whatever, kind of all at the same time. It's like, oh, so there's something that's good about that. I think that these mid-game systems that are hard to fix because nobody's ever focused on them all at the same time, this certainly highlights some of those. So I'm curious how the long game plays out, but it's a good example of whatever people thought their long game was, it isn't that. And then also the opportunity to experience of how, well, notice what that does to people's short games now. Literally, what do you do with your body, how are your emotions feeling, what thoughts are going through your heads now differently of all these people, everybody's short games jacked different, you know. So we've had this grand experiment on this titanic scale and so from a four game point of view, it's interesting because from a four game point of view, also for a long time, we have four crises that are always going on. We've got a short game crisis. A lot of people are mentally messed up, physically messed up, all sorts of ailments. We've got mid game problems from climate control to pandemics, long game bits of people can't predict into the future very much. We've got all these things happen simultaneously. I don't know. I think this just kind of highlights the interconnectedness of it all. And for me, kind of reinforces, hey, if you want to get something complicated done swiftly, we're going to have to look at this in a more nuanced way. Because otherwise, we're just talking past each other. And so there's just no credible scenario where all this works out. If I can't get 100 people in a room and we can, with one language or another, make a distinction between long game, mid game, short game, so yep, we can get all these things sorted out without trying to make somebody else wrong and getting down that path. So from a four game point of view, it seems, again, from my lenses, it really highlights the part. And it also highlights from an individual point of view, what are you going to do in something like this? It's so big. And how do you have an effect? It's like, well, you start where you are. You start with your own four games, you know, and build out. And it becomes attractive. You get yours together and then your friends come and you get a company or you know. So that idea of start where you are is something at least somebody can do in times of crisis that may not have a direct thing, but you want to save the world. Strangely enough, clean your room, do push-ups, call your mother. Yep. Kind of stuff, you know? But for me personally, I'm in a good spot. I'm tucked away, so my family and everybody's safe.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm really glad that came up because I almost want to like pause and just ask people to really almost rewind and listen to that again, because what came up there was the way in real life you can use this language to shape your life, right? For a lot of people, it was like, okay, my mid game just got disrupted. Maybe I commuted to work and I don't anymore, right? My whole systems, my environment is messed up. And this is impacting the way I feel. Maybe I feel confused. Maybe I feel angry. Maybe I feel like I want to go do something, and actually bringing awareness to that and how that's impacting how you relate to the news that's coming to you. So that was actually a very like systematic breakdown. And, you know, you can pull that out of the context of something like COVID. You could pull that into just like, oh, I'm deciding schools I want to go to. I'm deciding the career I want. Do I want to work in a company or do I want to pursue my art? You can actually then, this is Jamie's point of the having a language and a framework to approach the things in your life, because that is honestly often like the only thing that really confuses us. If we can actually like break mm-hmm. problems down into something that we can work with like building blocks, it becomes really easy. And you often know almost exactly what you want when you can see it like that. The problem is in being able to see it like that. And that's what the four game framework can actually give people, is like just walking through your life like that. Or if you're really anxious, or if you find yourself struggling, do a check-in, do an inventory of these frameworks and actually be like, what's off here? What am I missing? What have I not cultivated enough? What am I maybe overcompensating in? And then boom, just like that, like just these answers or the path forward just like illuminates itself immediately.
Yeah, I sure find like the nature of things become clear. Like sometimes the specifics don't, but the nature becomes clear. The nature of what you got to do, man, is you got to clean up your room. You got to stop smoking pot. You got to da 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 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or the nature of what you got to do is you got to do this, that. Those become clear because you're hitting the long game, mid game areas. And then it sure helps. I found with like leadership, if you're trying to organize other people now, if you can do this with yourself, now you can come into the room and kind of honor where everybody else is and try to get everybody on a common long game. Yep. And then start sharing roles so it's not so overwhelming. Don't worry, your role is to do that. My role is to do this. Not everybody has to do everything. We're going to find a role that fits you because I want you to get into flow. So I don't want to jam you into anything other than a long game you're fired up about and surround you with a mid game that's just going to let you go. And it becomes a whole different organizing leadership principle because everybody's on board with the long game. They've all get the basic chunks of the path with a lot of uncertainty fixed in, but they've got their role, they've got their gadgets, and they know what their short game focus is. Whew, it's astonishing what you can start doing. And you start realizing that you're just getting hiring people smarter and more able than you, and things start really magnifying. And that was kind of that next level of it for me. It was like, oh, once I got this together, it has this kind of amazing attracting and organizing ability, but without the need to know all of the content. So I can say, oh, here, we want to do this. I don't know the answer to that, but I called in Paul, and Paul's going to explain it to us. That's his role. And So it makes this nice thing. You don't have to be the smartest person in the room. You just have to be part of a group that's trying to coherently keep everybody's four games straight. And it, from a leadership, entrepreneurial point of view, I don't know, I found it a lot. It takes a lot of the pressure off because you don't have to come in with the answer. You just kind of come in with a process and a sincere question. That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and a really important point came up. You know, earlier in the conversation, you were mentioning, like, you know, as people sorted these things out, they could feel or they could see that things were getting a little more effortless, things were coming a little more naturally. And, you know, another way to say that is basically two things. You know, as you sort out kind of short game, mid game, right, your personal self and your personal environment, then you get into something like flow states. That's how you get in the zone, mm-hmm. right? That's when things are really coherent. And then as you sort out long game, deep game stuff, the further, that's how you get a sense of flow in your life at large. We're like, yes, I see where I'm going. I see why my past, all those things happened in my past, because it's ushering me in this direction. And again, a lot of good science is coming out around this, like, flow state and just feeling like you're actually surfing or dancing or whatever with life is extremely satisfying. They are extremely satisfying states to be in. But again, we always end up with the question of, like, well, how do I get there? I don't know what to do. How can I make mm-hmm. that happen? You know, you tweak the knobs of your games and it comes much more naturally.
Exactly. No, I think you've hit it on the head. I mean, if there's a goal, specific goal, that's the thing. I specified a little farther, generative flow, you know, mm-hmm. four game generative flow. You know, you get a flow where things are just kind of falling apart. And you're like, okay, where they're getting better a little bit every time. If you can get into that cycle, that now, and how you do it, I don't really care, as long as you're having a good time. And you're going to have a good time for it to be generative. So it's all very kind of personalized. And it's kind of a joy. My role isn't to figure it out, is to get to them, hey, let you have this. And then you tell me and we can all work together. So, but I do, I think that generative flow for me, bottom, you know, down, what am I trying to help somebody with in their short game? I can get you in generative flow. I don't need to give you the answer, but I need to get you going. Enough of that. And again, as you said, that's the process you want to feel. You know, it's not where that takes you, it's what that is. Yeah. But eventually that will start lining up achievements in your long game. And these kind of ideas you have in your short game will start showing up as achievements in your long game and stuff in your mid game. And that's just kind of moving through it. And then when you realize, you're just kind of, it gives you the ability to trade them off a little bit. Well, I'm going to suck it up now, sell all my stuff, get real tight on my mid game so I can focus on this for a while. And I'm in the part of the long game where I'm doing that. And that's okay. And then eventually I'll be in a different part where I'll get my... It gives you the freedom to not be too attached once you know all your games are changing and they're up to you to flip around. And often when you're a young guy and you've got short game and long game, but you don't have any mid game, your balance is kind of being a little bit out of balance. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to focus on, I'm going to get a head start and boom, get jump started. Because once those achievements are in your long game, it becomes easier because people project on you.
Yep.
And you don't have to, oh, you're the naked bar guy. Oh, you're the high existence guy, whatever. Mm-hmm. And as you get older, that long game precedes you and makes a lot of things easier because they already know what role they want you to have in their long game. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Oh, huge. Yeah. Another important thing worth recognizing here is the frame switch that you kind of just brought light to, which is, you know, a lot of your achievements, a lot of your success is a byproduct of the states that you find yourself in. You know, really another example I think illuminates this is, like, a lot of people say, well, when I'm successful, I will be happy, right? You put happy on, like, the dependency of being successful, but it's actually the other way around. You know, happy people mm-hmm. are more successful. Success is a byproduct. It's downstream of being happy. It's not the other way around, or at least it'll serve you way better if you flip those things around. Right. So it's actually not chasing
doing success. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. You're doing success by keeping your four games strong and tight and fit. You're doing success. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that's, you know, and it's that counterintuitive bit that, yeah, the long game achievements will come over time. but you don't ever just go get a long game achievement. You just do push-ups or read books or whatever the inner piece is.
And that's why you see in a lot of high-profile people, you often find that they do a bunch of things, or that they can be successful in multiple areas. You know, an example I love of this is actually Terry Crews. He's kind of known as an actor and just a strong guy on TV shows or the Old Spice commercials or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he's actually a freaking amazing, like, industrial designer and a painter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's actually amazing. You can look up. He's designed like really high end furniture and does amazing paintings and stuff. And people are like, well, how can he possibly do that? Those things seem so different. And you know, the point is that he wasn't pursuing those things. He was in, he has a way of being, right? He has a state that he's in. He has a four game dynamic that those things are a byproduct.
Cruzian dynamics.
Dude, exactly. And it's like, right? That's what the byproduct looks like when you embody a way like that. And so,
it can't not look like that because it's all of a piece. Mm-hmm. It's the whole thing. It's the, he can't take part of it. That's his whole, his whole Cruzian thing. And that's what becomes interesting. It's like how people get those authentic and rich, and how people play them out. Yep. I always kind of think like four game wells, to look at someone else's four games and be like, ooh, well played, man. Nice. Interesting what you've done with what you've got, I think that the framework allows you to just have this kind of, appreciation and wonder at what everybody else does.
Yeah.
It does for me anyway.
Yeah, dude, I agree. And this is why on some of these interviews you hear with people like this, it's funny because a question that always comes up, well-intentioned, but it always comes up, so, well, how do you do all of this? And the answer is almost always something like, I don't know, I just do it. And this is the whole point of the way of being like invisible to you, right? Because it's just who you are. Mm-hmm. And that's the point. Like there's no secret sauce. It's just like everything is flowing here. And these are the just things that happen to come from that. Like, I don't know how I do this. I just do it. I just wake up and I go about my day and these things come from it. People seem to like it. I seem to like it. It's cool.
I know. I remember when I was starting out, you get so frustrated with just like vague advice. Like, oh, go follow, it's just, okay, I get it. But can you be more specific? It's like, I got 3 hours. What should I be doing now? Mm-hmm. I think there is a really nice connection to that broad stuff of go out generally and do it. And then if you want to be more specific, what does that look like specifically? Well, you could drill that down into four games if you must, and you want to get more specifically, well, there's all sorts of options of ways to do it within. It could be personalized in there. But it does kind of getting people out of that, I guess a case of overwhelm, just into first steps, and not having that first step feel like another step into overwhelm. Almost like, this is going to be easier than I think. And fun. And wowee, just get that whole shift so it's not get dread out of the personal improvement vibe, which is partly why games and play and all that stuff for me. It's like, I'm trying to get, you love to train. Somewhere, I think it was like Mark Spitz, his thing was like, winners don't love to win, they love to train.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's great.
Okay. That makes sense. The winning will come. And then also that double phrase, or the double use of the word champion. It's like, you want to have an achievement, champion something. What is it that you're championing? Championing four game dynamics. I'm championing Whole Foods. In terms of boom, that will often champion something that you deem mighty and you deem helpful. That sometimes will start to give you a spine if you just kind of hold onto that role, put a pin in that role, and then spin everything around it. That starts as a very kind of agency inspiring kind of role, but not a champion like competitive, but just go out and be a strong advocate for something that you believe in with all your might. I find that often that helps people pull together sometimes.
Yeah, and this is actually full circling to what we started the conversation off of basically being able to go meta, look at the content or the context or the structure versus the actual content. Like, it's not in the suggestions that these people are going to make to you, because they're not you, right? Their circumstances were different. Mm-hmm. And like, what worked for them will almost, I don't want to say guaranteed, but it's like, it's not going to work for you. But there's a structure to how they are. That is what's important. And like this shift, I think, changes so much for people. Like if you're sitting with a group of your friends and you stop listening to what is being said and you start watching like who is talking more, how are these people reacting to what's being said, you get way more from that than the actual what's being said. Right? It's like, oh, this person is dominating the conversation and they sound kind of anxious. Maybe there's something there. And this is how you get to be someone like the really insightful friend where it's like, hey, what's bothering you? And the person will be like, I didn't say that. How do you know that?
Right.
It's like, yeah, actually something happened yesterday that threw me off. How do you know that? It's like, well, I was watching the thing that mattered. I was watching the structure of what was unfolding, not just what you were saying. And the same thing with like, look at the structure of your day. Right. It doesn't matter what's happening inside of it, but it's like, are you balancing health, learning, performing, like whatever it is. Like, look, that bird's eye structure, top down view of almost anything, your intimate relationship, your working career, your relationships. If people can pull themselves up to that level and do structure over content, actually, the content sorts itself out. Right? It comes as a result of the structure that guides it. And so it's just that really just can't be emphasized enough.
Yeah, I was astonished. And it's so simple. I don't know how young someone could be to get that. Because it's one of those things, once it dawns on you, or did me, I'm like, well, that's not that complicated. I could have gotten that a long time ago, and that would have been really helpful. And so I wonder, in hindsight, like what age of yourself would you go back and give this to?
Damn, that's an amazing question. I don't even have a good number, but like as early as possible, because it has shifted. It shifted again. Everything I just listed, I listed because it hit my own life. Like it shifted conversations I have with friends. It shifted dynamics in personal relationships. It shifted, the way I interact at work, how I run my day. Like everything has come from, wait, what is actually going on here? And then the minutia comes secondary and often way easier because again, you get into something like flow states and flow and it becomes this, generative play that is just way easier, but it never comes if you don't start there and you're only just on the content and the five life hacks to get here and all of this.
Exactly. What would others notice about you watching you go through this? What do they, how do they see? How would they describe change?
A comment,
if they even noticed.
Yeah, that's a great question. Something that comes up a lot is that I talk very little and I watch and listen a lot more. Because again, if I'm busy spouting my own story, I'm inevitably stuck in content and inevitably stuck in my own content, which I already know. I don't need to know that.
Exactly.
I know what I think.
Like, least interesting. Yeah.
Honestly. And so there's been a massive shift in, you listen way more. And I get comments like, you actually listen quite well. Like I can tell that you're actually caring about what is being said. And it's like, well, yes, I care about what you're saying and I care about more how you're saying it. A big shift from speaking to listening. A lot more time spent inside, reflecting, contemplating, rather than doing. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of, if I'm going to chop down a tree in 3 hours, I'm going to spend two of it sharpening the axe before I actually go do it. Like there's something there where it's like, what is true, what is real, and what is right? Figure that out, and then I can go do it way easier. Those are two big ones. Yeah. Listening and reflecting more. What else? Yeah. Just noticing dynamics. And actually on the surface, this comes across funny because there are times where I'll be in a conversation with one person or a few of my friends and I'll just say something seemingly completely tangential, like just completely ridiculous, like, dude, did you get a good sleep last night, as they were talking about like something complete. And it on the surface it looks weird, but it's like, sometimes you can tell when people don't like silence, so they're trying to fill it with whatever. And you can actually
right, yep.
You can actually give them an out by just talking about something really real that you notice, which is like, oh, mm. yo, look, you sound really scattered right now. Like, what's up? Can I help? Mm. So on the surface, it looks kind of like, I don't even know what you would call that, a little off the cuff remarks, but also just a relentless pursuit of like, what is real? Like, I don't want your fancy story about how your past 2 months have been. Like, tell me how you're feeling. You feel like shit? Cause that's what I want to talk about. A turning away from filler and nonsense. It's also because it comes as part of, well, I can sit in silence way more comfortably now. I don't need the space to be filled. And so if I notice, and again, part of noticing the dynamics is like, if I can notice that someone's not comfortable with that silence, there's probably a reason why. And I want to explore what's going on there, because that's where real shit comes from.
Yeah, no, I think that's, I have a similar thing. It makes you be able to just have, yeah, you're noticing more. And then sometimes you'll notice that, oh, well, this connects to this and this connects to that. No, that's not going to work, you poor thing. You know, there'll be a little bit, oh, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to explain it to you or get it to you or whatever, but you can kind of see ahead of time. Or the reverse of like, oh, very clever. That's a ninja move. That's going to work. Mm-hmm. Because look at the, you know, so it allows me to kind of feel like, oh, you guys, this person's ahead of their time or below past their time. Like what I think what you guys are doing. I think your retreats and everything, and it's a perfect example. You yank someone out of their mid game, shake all that up, and have this new event in and be able to control their short game, you know, and then send them and then deal with the highest, you know, deep game, long game, and then put them back in their old mid game. That's going to have an effect. You know, and so it just feels like that whole kind of holistic approach feels like that has that sense of, yeah, there's something, the nature of that is right, you know, and then there's all sorts of ways to execute it that can be stylistic. But, and then likewise, seeing things that are just fundamentally that long game and mid game combination are never going to work, you know, or you see that, or you get to see, or since it's not going to work, that long game is bullshit. That's not really how it's going to play out. If you notice the short, you know, notice everything else, you'll see that, no, that's an incongruent piece a little bit.
Because this is amazing, because again, this whole framework goes from the atomized individual all the way up to like, how is civilization playing these four games? How is the global collective playing these? And like, is that working? Is this going down a path we want it to? And, you know, it actually, that a very common theme of how our community tends to come together is this sense of sometimes a black sheep, but mostly just like a cog out of place, where it's like, I don't think I fit here. And I think I see something, or at least I feel something off about this. And it's kind of difficult for me to put words to it, but like, I know in my heart of hearts, that something's off here. And part of what we do as a community together is like, okay, let's see if we can put that into words, because then we can go do something about it, or we can follow the feeling.
So
it's extremely powerful. So where would you like to see this go?
Well, I'm curious. I was just about to ask you that. that next, you know, I feel like my kind of job has been, my role in it has been to kind of get it going, use it on myself, use it on my business, kind of start to trickle it out there. And it's attracted the most, this first generation of people who get it without much explanation, you know? So we've moved on to this bit where there's you and quite a few people now that can understand it as well as I do and understand a lot of elements better than I do and have their own different dynamics. And so mine cease to be special other than throwing the gadget in there. And I kind of think like, hey, everybody's a Jedi. This is just a kind of lightsaber. It's like, you're already the thing, you know? So what that next community does, I've got a property up here now and I'm starting to put together, I want to assemble some of those people. Seems to me that the next logical space as this story plays out is, okay, you've got to be some physical assembling pieces. There's a little Avengers assembling that happens. Once you've got the different crew to do, and we're all kind of speaking, fighting the same thing, blah, blah, blah. And so I feel like that broad group is coalescing And what it's just, a lot of what it's just missing is just a little bit of like four game lingo. Doesn't have to be much, just a little bit of framing so we can get all on the same board. We're not trying to control anything or hierarchy anything. Just trying to get cracking because we need to move swiftly and things are urgent. So I think there's a pulling together of that first crew, which I find is really the most interesting guys because they're like you, they come to it with all their different things. And what's that next piece if the idea is how do you get more people thinking more whole, doing more whole thinking more often?
Yeah.
It's like, oh. So my way of doing it is I know there'll be more people coming through. This place will start to get finished up. I'm going to cycle some more people through here. And then other people are going to take it and run with it. I've intentionally not monetized it or made it a selly thing. I like the playful, I've got nothing to sell. The way of teaching it is really fun for me by not having of that and just, you know, defying all those expectations makes it a little bit unique in that space. And then the people that get hold of it are the most astonishing, impressive, interesting people. And so they go off and do their thing. And then it makes a nice thing of, you know, like we brought up Alan Watts or a bunch of people today. You go back in history with an ear and you can hear all these people talking about it in really elegant, thoughtful ways. And suddenly for me, it opens up all these past thinkers now. Mm-hmm. And so all this wisdom is a lot easier for me to digest because I can at least filter it like, oh, I see. Okay, that was what Nietzsche's short game was about. Like, oh, okay, that's what process philosophy is talking about. Oh, you get to see where they are and where they aren't. And for me, that made me go from feeling like I had a lot of, I'd studied a lot to feeling like I knew something. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, and then therefore I could do something and I had this confidence that was just, I can just do it. I don't care who it's in front of and that ability, I'll do it right now. that certainty bit that I think doubt creeps into people because they've sliced their reality tunnel too prickly. And so they can't keep track of everything and they're always nervous. And so this at least helps that first bit. And then if people can always go more complicated, because I get some people who think that you're trying to be too simplistic. And it's like, no, I'm just trying to get you started. Where you go from here, as you wish, you know. And that's where the journey of people who have really got the handle of it and have knowledge in a bunch of different areas, like you, become really interesting. We can delve down in any one of your subject areas. And it's like, oh, there's a big mid-game chunk of info, or wow. And then everybody has something to offer. And then Brownian dynamics and Combsian dynamics and whoever. Oh, and then it feels like that takes a lot of pressure off people. It's like, that's the name of the game, man. You got four games, it's your birthright. They're your superpowers. You can't not have them. Everywhere you go, there they are. You know, and you can heighten them and we're going to make them strong and it's fun and you're already pretty good. And just trying to get that kind of buck up feeling, I find on an individual basis is kind of what needs to happen. And there's something about having someone see you the way you wish to be seen, you know, even if it's just one person. And if that's just, you're a capable person that's just got a few dimensions that are twisted up, but don't worry, you're well on your way. I remember not having that kind of simple clarity, and it's overwhelming and terrible. You're looking for distractions and you're lost in your own things and doubt. It's just a, you know, I think everyone goes through years of that. So, I don't know. And I have really empathy for the next generation of what they're coming into. Jesus, their mid game's a wreck. You know, the long game is hard to predict. It's, I have enormous empathy. And I think that's one of the things that really helps too. It makes have empathy for other people's four games, wherever they are. Yep. Everyone's got them. And then also this kind of generic desire that, hey, you want everybody to be stronger and everybody to be better. You know, and so there's this only this overwhelming sense of kind of positive curiosity and goodwill that leads to kind of, oh, if I can help, let me know. Because there's the sense of everybody's four games bump into everybody else's. You know, each of us need all of us eventually. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Somebody, but yeah, I would love your help. If there's any bits or you think to take it through, you're now a node in all this. Thank you very much.
Yeah, dude. Well, this entire conversation is at least my first small attempt to do this because, you know, I think you've mentioned it quite a few times in this conversation. I think a starting point is shared language. Like we need to at least be able to speak the same way so that we can talk about what the heck is going on here. And this is one of the more elegant languages I've seen. So I actually I'm trying to cook up a post as well that digs into these a little more because I know in some of your graphics, you have about three core topics in each of the games. And so again, it's actually a very simple lexicon, right? It's like 12 words in total. It's not that complicated, but if we can all get on the same page of like, these are the generators of your life, basically, I think it'll take people very, very far. And so, yeah, honestly, I'm just bent on trying to get this out because, yes, I've mentioned it several hundred times already on this conversation. I think it's an extremely powerful frame and an extremely powerful tool. So, thank you.
No, thank you very much. Yeah, let's stay in touch.
Yeah, we will.
See where all this goes. And shout if I can help in any way with what you guys are up to.
Yeah, thank you. And I'll put Jamie's at least Twitter handle in the show notes here so you can follow along, because every so often there's a good new piece out on how the four game comes into the world. So, you can follow along there. Is there anything you want to leave people with? Anything you want to say? Anywhere you want to direct anyone?
No, great. That was just really wonderful. It's nice to talk about one of my favorite subjects with someone who likes it as much as I do. So great fun. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. It's really amazing to know that these ideas are going out to beautiful people like you. So what did you think of the four game model? If you liked it and think that more people should know about it, please just share this with your friends. Send it to them. This is exactly the kind of information I want to get out to everyone in the world, and we all play a part in making that happen. And of course, you are amazing. Thank you again for your time, and I will see you again soon for another installment of the High Existence Podcast.